There are several definitions, like my brother said, given from different authors to what consecration really means. But for the purpose of the Bible, we define it, like as I've said, like being, you know, set apart unto God. Setting aside, dedication, yielding, making one to be holy, calling up a person for a higher purpose, for a set, and setting somebody apart and making the person holy, you know, to be able to, you know, to carry out some assignments from God. Because God will not use any vessel that is not holy. God will not use an unholy vessel. God will not use any vessel that is not fit for the master's use. In the place where we already talked about, in a house where you have many vessels, you have some vessels of earthen vessels, they have golden vessels, they have silver vessels, they have that of wood. We have vessels that are unto honor, and we have vessels that are unto dishonor. Which vessel are we? What vessel am I? Am I a vessel unto honor? Can the Lord use me? Have I been consecrated for this work? Have you been consecrated? Have we been sanctified? Are we fit for the master's use? Anyone that is sanctified, anyone that is consecrated, is sanctified and made holy. And so is a special being. Praise the Lord. The Lord will teach us as we go on in the mighty name of Jesus. What can we really say about consecration? When you talk about consecrating yourself, it means you want to wholly dedicate yourself, you know, setting yourself aside, you know, to release yourself, to make yourself ready, to be prepared to be used by God. When we talk about sanctification, we talk about one being separate for God's use by cleansing by the blood of Jesus. We must first of all be cleansed. Cleanse from all our iniquity. Cleanse from our unfilthiness. Because we cannot just walk into that office. Before those that were called high priests, they were consecrated. They had, you know, laid down rules they had to follow, which was not supposed to be broken. They were just set aside, consecrated, and sanctified for that purpose. And so when we talk about consecration, we are talking about being set apart for a particular use. For God's use, for a particular purpose. And so the Lord will help us this evening in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about some examples, you know, of consecration. If we look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 23, Exodus 19, 23. Rafemi, are you back? Exodus 19:23, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Set bounds, barricade it. I mean, that mount was sanctified. They were not supposed to go in anyhow. It's like this altar. It would be wrong for anybody to run in and run out of this altar. It would be very wrong for anybody to bring her plate of food and sit on this altar and begin to eat. It would be wrong for us to allow the children to come on this altar and begin to play. Not because of anything, but because of the fact that we know that this place is sanctified. It's meant to be a holy place, because this is where we stand to, you know, to preach the gospel. And it will reference God by not using this altar anyhow. Praise the Lord. So anything that is sanctified, has been set apart, it cannot be used anyhow. It's not a place to play. Like this mountain was, you know, was sanctified, was set apart, and it was barricaded so that no people won't go in and out anyhow. Praise the Lord. Another example of something that is sanctified is in Ezekiel chapter 42, verse 20. Ezekiel 42:20. Brother Femi, please, if you are there, can read for me. My iPad is slow. Yeah.
It's on the screen.
Oh. He measured it by the four sides. It had a wall round about 500 reeds long and 500 broad, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Separation between the sanctuary and the profane place, like I was explaining here. Now, if we want to use a building, for example, that was not a church before, maybe that building was not used for a church before, and you want the church to move into that building, you must first of all consecrate that building by doing what? By praying and maybe anointing in the place and, you know, handing it over to God before you start using it. You cannot just move into that building and put your altar and begin to preach. No. You must first of all do some prayers, you know, do some talking to God, you know, put things in place, you know, to sanctify that place and to, you know, to so that whatever was governing it before, because everything has a government, you know. Every place has some, you know, strong walls. You know, you have to break the thing, the breakables, before you can actually come in to use it for the master. Because the master cannot stand anything that is not clean, that is not sanctified. Praise the Lord. I'm just talking about an example of what can be sanctified, or what consecration is. Another example is in Exodus 28, verse 3. It talks about Aaron's garment, you know. Aaron, being a priest, he was the only one. Are you there? He said, "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." The garment was sanctified for a purpose, because he needed to minister in the office of a priest, which was, you know, a higher calling. He was called for a specific purpose, to minister as a priest. And so he himself was consecrated. Even the clothes, the garment that he wore was consecrated. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that anything that is consecrated is made holy and set apart for a particular use. You cannot consecrate something and then leave it like that. Whatever is consecrated, there's a purpose for that consecration. And so this evening, as we gather here, as the children of the Most High God, ready to serve God in spirit and in truth, may the Lord consecrate us for this work in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Are you with me? Somebody praise the Lord. Why is everybody sitting behind me? I'm feeling alone. The whole front is empty. Please. Praise the Lord. A nation can also be sanctified. A nation can also be sanctified. If we read Exodus, that same Exodus chapter 19 from verse 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. What does it say? He says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." God sent Moses to the children of Israel. God had chosen them. Remember that he had made a promise to their forefather that he was going to make them great. And he was still in the business of making them great. He had not finished with them. He had promised that he was going to take them to a promised land, a land that would be filled with milk and honey. And they were still God was still fulfilling his promises. But why did God choose Israel in the first place? Why did God choose Israel as a nation? He just picked them up and then decided to do so many, you know, wonderful things. You remember what he did with Pharaoh because of the children of Israel? Look at all, you know, the wonderful miracles that he did in the presence of the Egyptians. God knew that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. Of course, he was responsible for that. He just wanted to show them that he is God. But my question is, which everybody is going to answer later, is why did he have to choose Israel? Why Israel? Praise the Lord. What we are looking at now is, when the Lord consecrates a person, a nation, or a thing, it is for a particular use. The Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, A nation can also be consecrated. God consecrated the nation of Israel and made them a kingdom of priests. Praise the Lord. Separated them from the nations. He gave them his statutes that they must obey. If you read the book of Leviticus chapter 22, verse 31 to 32, Leviticus, Leviticus 22, 31 to 32. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. Praise the Lord. He gave them, the children of Israel, his statute and commanded them to obey. Praise the Lord. When the Lord consecrates you, he has a need of you. He will place a responsibility on you. He will give you something to do for him. Praise the Lord. And you too have to consecrate yourself by obeying him, obeying his commands. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, the question is, how can we consecrate ourselves unto the Lord? Is it possible for us to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord? How can we consecrate ourselves unto the Lord? That question is thrown to everybody, but okay, good. Before be thinking about it, before you answer the question, let me quickly say this. Let us look at the roots of this consecration. Let us look at the roots. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, after the children of Israel had wandered for 40 years, the Lord instructed them that commanded them that they should consecrate themselves before entering into the promised land. Why did that happen? Because in the course of their wandering, they had seen, they had done so many things, even though so many people had died, there was like a new generation. God still felt that they were not clean enough, they were not fit, they were not holy enough to enter into the promised land. And so he commanded them to consecrate themselves before entering. If we look at the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. The Lord instructed his followers not to touch unclean things. You know, that is like the root of consecration, you know. Another place we can look at is a similar example is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. He said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This one is for me and you, as children of God. We ought to look at our body as a sacrifice unto God. And then surrender even our body unto him for his service. Our body should be used to worship God. There are things we must not do with our body. We must not dress, you know, half naked. Our body must be covered because it's the temple of the Almighty God. We must not involve in the things that will not bring glory to God's name. Anything that is going to defile our body, we should not get into it. Because our God is a holy God. We have been called out to save him. And so, if he had washed us with his precious blood and has consecrated us, that is why you and me, we are here, for his service, we ought to also keep our body holy as a sacrifice unto him. Praise the Lord. There's something I want us to note before we answer that question. I want us to note the fact that the ability to consecrate oneself is only made by God. It can only be made possible by God. It's not a personal effort. You cannot consecrate yourself by yourself. The ability to consecrate oneself is only made possible by God. And the calling to do so comes directly from Him. It's only God that can call you to consecrate yourself. So, you know that consecrating yourself is a call to holiness. When you are consecrated, you must remain holy. Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." It's only by when we are holy that we can see Christ. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness comes from sanctification. And sanctification comes by who? Through God. So we cannot consecrate ourselves without God. God is the only one that makes consecration possible. I just want us to know that. So it's not by human effort. Praise the Lord. It's only God that has the power to transform a human being and make that human being sacred for His own use. If not, it wouldn't be possible. Because this flesh, what the flesh is looking for is not what the Spirit is looking for. And the flesh, our flesh is forever warring with the Spirit of God. We are fasting now. If not by the special grace of God, when you wake up in the morning, it's like you have not eaten for the past 1 week. Because your flesh wants food. But the Holy Spirit wants, the Spirit of God wants you to wait. When you're waiting on the Lord, you're edifying your spirit. You're feeding your spirit when you're waiting on the Lord. But when you're eating whatever, chicken, nugget, and that, you are feeding your body, your soul, your flesh. And so when you wake up in the morning, your flesh wants you to eat breakfast. When it is time for lunch, your flesh wants you to eat lunch. So you see, there's a war. So except by the grace of God, you can't make it. That's why I said consecration is through God. Because what is going to keep you consecrated? What's going to keep you holy? It's obeying these rules. There's time for everything. There's time to pray and fast. There's time to eat. You cannot be eating all the time. When it is time to feed the spirit, we have to feed the spirit. When it's time to feed the flesh, we have to feed the flesh. And so the Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So in essence, God is consecrating and making you holy once you decide to consecrate yourself for His use. What do I mean by this? You know, sometimes, instinct, you just begin to feel somehow, You cannot really explain it, but it's like your body would be telling you, you should fast, you should pray. Sometimes you're sleeping. Maybe like in the middle of the night, you wake up and you check around, why am I up? And your peace is withdrawn and the sleep is not coming. God wants you to pray at that time. You know, by the grace of God, it's possible He can give you the prayer point. Or most times you just want to see if you will obey Him. And start praying. You should understand when He comes to you like that. And so when you begin to have the hunger, you begin to have the desire to consecrate yourself, you should know that it is God that is actually doing it. God is prompting you. And He's prompting you because there is a purpose why you should be consecrated. And if God helps you to take that, to listen to Him, to recognize His voice, to recognize that He's the one that is asking you to make that sacrifice, at the end of it, you will see why He has asked you to consecrate yourself. Praise the Lord. You know that God will never use anything that is unholy. And it's the desire of God is that we should be in His own image. He created us in His own image and His likeness. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. You know that God is holy. He's the holy God. There's no sin with Him. There's no spot, no wrinkle. And for you to be like Him, you must be without spot and without wrinkle too. That without sin, spotless. Glory be to God because the grace is sufficient. Any responsibility that He places on us, He gives us the grace, to obey. If they are saying, be ye holy, for I am holy, that means the grace for us to be holy, he has already released. It is for us to key in and walk by it. I should begin to wait on the Lord for 40 days. Man, before you finish, something must happen. You cannot remain in the same spot unless you're not serious. God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. That is why I know our waiting is not in vain. We shall receive the, the reward when the time comes in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, before we see how we can consecrate ourselves, I'm going back to that question that I asked before. How can we consecrate ourselves to the Lord?
Contribution. Mommy, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God.
They are pushing the ball in my court. So, it says, how do we...
How can we consecrate ourselves unto
yes,
God?
I just want to add this. You make...
Contribution.
Contribution. Yeah, you said about consecration. God himself assigns it on a man. But it's also a man part too. That for that intent that God had to come to pass. So one thing is very certain about the way God does his things. God will not force you to do what he wants to do. God requires that willingness in the heart of a man. And to demonstrate that willingness for us to give ourselves to God's cause, and the calling that God has upon our lives. So, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 19 down. But 21 says something. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master's prepared for every
good work.
So, there's a need for us to do a setting apart of certain things in our lives that will stand, because God's demand of us, God is a holy God, and that demands us to be. And we have to purge ourselves of the things that will stand in the way for us to align with God's purpose. Because there's no way that a man can be living a worldly life and yet wants to be used of God. Despite the fact God may have called you to a purpose, it cannot work. It won't be possible. That purpose that God called that man can never come to pass. So there's a need for a man to purge himself. Those things that are standing in that way, if you will be a vessel unto honor, if God will be glorified in your life. So that is our part. We just need to do that. If we do not do that, the purpose of God can never come to pass in our lives. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
More contribution. Thank you, sir. More contribution.
So, the part I just want to answer is a question that you asked, that why the Israelites? See, the ways of God is not our way. He does what he pleases. He chooses whoever he wants to choose. Makes me to, remember the account of the story of David, when David was anointed as the king of Israel. And was anointed the king. After Jesse paraded all his son, he forgot about David. But David, who God had already set aside for the role that he wanted to fill in, was not there. So sometimes the things that the way God does his thing, we human beings don't have a clue, the slightest clue. God can use anything to do what he wants to do. If you look at the story of Balaam also, you will see that in the process of Balaam going to answer to the call of Balaam, God used the horse to speak to Balaam because he was trying to walk against what God had instructed him to. So God can use anybody, no matter how dirty, no matter how far we are, no matter how. God does not look at your bank account. God does not look at your academic background, if you have double masters, a PhD. God does not look at the kind of car you drive, maybe a Porsche, maybe a Mercedes. God does not look at the mansion you live in. God does not look at that. He looks at the person, and just not because even he doesn't even look at the holy that now, like people that go to church all the day, pray every night, sing. Yeah, those are criteria, but if God wants to do what he wants to do, he looks at what he needs to look and does what he needs to do through that person. So for God to set aside some, we most of the time we condemn ourselves and say, God cannot use me. We condemn ourselves and say, maybe the background I came from, oh, my father, my forefather, they worship idols, or maybe I committed a lot of sin. I don't know if God is going to forgive me. God can use anybody as long as that individual is willing to be used by God. God can use anybody. There's no job description. As long as you're willing, God qualifies an individual. He doesn't look for the person that is qualified, but he looks for someone and qualifies him for the role. So it's important for us to know, because sometimes, including myself, we get beaten down and say, God, how can God? But God can use anybody. He can use a connecting wire to do whatever he wants to do. So we need to know that it's important that God can use anything. And also, as Bonegege has said, it's important to know that even as God has set us aside, we need to also, the willingness has to be there. If we are not willing, he might call us. And if we're not willing, he looks elsewhere and picks another. It's just like a pilot that drives a plane. A plane is constructed. The plane cannot fly itself except the pilot flies the plane. So if the plane decides to say, I am not working, the pilot will leave the plane and go and get another plane to fly. It's the loss of the plane. The plane will just be grounded and be left there. So it's important for us to know that God has brought us into this earth, not by an accident. There's a purpose why God has brought us into this face of the earth. And that purpose we all have to accomplish, because on the last day when he calls us back home, we have to give account of if he has given us 50, 40, 60 years to live on earth. He's going to ask us, what did you do with the 60 or the 40 or the 50 years? How many lives did you touch positively? How many people did you reach out to? How many people did you show love to? All these are the things that we're going to give account to God on the last day. And I pray that God Almighty will find us worthy to reign with him on the last day, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Consecration. Setting yourself aside. Just like the pastor I just mentioned, everyone that God sent forth to this world has a purpose. And he has deposited one thing in you, a talent in you. At the end of the day, you will account for that. Because the Bible tells us that after death, what again? Judgment. So now start from that and look at one thing. If a man therefore purged himself, so the action comes from you. And the Lord says that if I come to your door and I knock and you open, I will come in to sup with you. That is, if you prepare yourself, if you make yourself a vessel unto honor, I'm ready to use you. It is his choice. And it is your own choice. Remember, he chose 12 disciples. They were all with him right away from the beginning to the end. including the one that betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
He was even the right-hand man of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he did not finish well. So as believer, the first thing you do is that, first of all, give your life to Christ. Because if you don't settle that, you're just wasting time. Settle that. Lord, I surrender. I'm ready for your use. And that's why if a man therefore purge himself, take up, forget about the worldly things. A lot of things will call unto you, just like flesh, you know. I mean, we are sitting down here, we are listening to the word of God. Sometimes on Friday when we are here praying, some people are in the club. Those are worldly things. And if you want to be used by the Almighty God, there must be that separation. You shouldn't be one of those we call wandering minds. You have to prepare yourself to serve God. I tell you before, in the Old Testament, and we have already talked about this several times here, the person who goes into the Holy of the Holy is the priest. Was the priest that would go into the Holy of the Holy to do what? To plead on behalf of those people, you know, all sort of sacrifice, goat sacrifice, sin sacrifice, everything. But he goes into the Holy of Holy because he has been consecrated to go into the Holy of Holy. And if he even has sin, they tie a rope to him so that they don't see him the first hour, the second hour, the third hour, the fourth hour. They know the priest is gone. So now they cannot go into the Holy of Holy. They start to draw him. They have to bring him out of the Holy of Holy. Because they cannot go there. What am I saying? When the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, when he was crucified, when he gave up, what happened? That veil was broken, right? The veil now gives you and me the chance to really have communication directly with God. What are we saying here? You cannot do any work of God if you have not purged yourself. You must be a vessel that is prepared to receive. Now, what we are doing now, many people will not do it. They tell them to fast one day, talk less of fasting 50 days. They cannot do that. They can't do without their breakfast in the morning and their cup of coffee. Purge yourself means denying yourself. Take Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, when he got to his stage, he said, one of his statements was that I will spend
and be spent.
And be spent. That is, all these things that I've been doing before, that I thought I was doing the right thing. Now that I know, I will do everything. One of the pastors mentioned, he called it that, Satan, you have dealt with me. It is my time now to deal with you seriously. And that is the consecration. Because once you are empowered, Holy Spirit comes into you. You become the mouthpiece of God. Anything that comes from you must be, must really, improve people. Anything that comes from you must be the word of God. And who is the word of God? Jesus Christ. Praise the name of our Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. So basically what we're saying is that for us to consecrate ourselves unto God, the simple steps that we must follow is that we must first of all repent of our sin. When we repent of our sins, put away our sins, everything we're doing, the lying, cheating, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, and all of that. Be baptized. And then separate yourself from the world and the evil that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 talks about you not loving the world and the evil and the things that are in the world. Because you cannot love the world and also love God. You must choose one. If you are for God, you love God and forsake the things of the world, even as Daddy has said.
And then you dedicate your heart to God. To dedicate your heart to God, begin to read the word of God, seek to know God through his word. And then you draw closer to him by coming to the midst of the children of God to study, like, you know, rub minds together. The Bible says iron sharpened iron. And then whatever you have been taught, whatever you have learned from the word of God, as you have made up your mind to serve him, stay committed. You're not going to rush into sin and rush out again. Today you're in the club, tomorrow you go to church. Okay, on Sunday I was in church, on next Friday I'm going to the club. It does not work like that. When we have surrendered to him, we have to remain in him, stay committed. And God, who sees the hearts, will give us the grace and the ability to remain. And it is when he has seen the commitment, he now comes to help you by picking you up. He begins to push you up. He begins to push you up. He begins to push you up. It comes a time where you can no longer sit down again and be hearing and be taking in. The Lord begins to give you the grace to be able to teach another person what you yourself have learned. And I know God, he's a faithful God. He will do as he has said, in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. You have something to say? Our time is fast spent. Pastor, can I allow her?
Just say that consecration is a continuous process.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another thing that we should know. So once, because when we look at the furniture, you put in furniture, after a while, it gathers dust. And if you don't dust the dust away, the dust takes over and takes over the furniture, and the beauty of that furniture is taken away. So we so likewise we Christian, once we give our life to Christ and we are sold out, thank you. Once we give our life to Christ and we sold out for him, we have to always do daily, weekly, monthly evaluation to see if we're actually stayed in the course of line or we have drifted away, so that we can, if we have drifted away, we can bring ourselves back and stay, you know, and stay committed to what God has called us to. So it has to be a continuous thing, not one time thing, but a continuous thing. And the Holy Spirit is actually what covers us. You know, we have a furniture, those people, they will use clothes to cover it. So that covering keeps away the dust. So that covering is like the Holy Spirit. So in order for all the things of the world not to get attached and take us away from the presence of God, the Holy Spirit has to cover us. In order for the Holy Spirit to cover us, we have to stay in the line and the course that God has for us, and so that he can remain in us and take away all the excess of the things of the world that can take us away from his presence.
Amen.
One thing.
Too late.
Too late. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we're talking about consecrating ourselves, and just to add to all that's been said is Psalm 119 somewhere, I think verse 130, says the entrance of the word giveth life. So in order to purge ourselves, we need the word of God. This is it. We have to get this in. This is what cleanses, because of our own we cannot do it. So we make time. As we get it in, it nourishes us, it cleanses. I think in 2 Corinthians 5 somewhere says, therefore, 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that for you to become that new, there has to be something working inside of you, and that's the word of God. And you know, there's a song that says, "Things I used to do, I do them no more." There's a great change since I'm born again. So you become a new person, you become a changed person. Then you can purge yourself. You can know, like Sister Tony said, whether you're doing the old things or you're doing the right things. And God will help us.
Praise the Lord.
Actually, it's through his grace. We can't do it by ourselves.
Pastor, do you have anything to say? Praise the Lord. I just wanted to go home with this thing. The fact that God can use anybody. Do not look down on yourself. Do not think, oh, I'm the worst sinner, so God cannot use me. God does not call the qualified. He calls you and he qualifies you. He gives you everything that it will take for you to function in what he has called you into. So don't worry about who you are. It doesn't matter to God. As long as you're willing, he can use you at any time. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. King of glory, Abba Father, we ask, O God, this word that we have heard today will not stand against us on the last day in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, help us, O God, to continually take stock of our dealings, our daily service to you, and to remain committed, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, this word will not be taken away as we step out of this place. Help us to continue to meditate and to live by it. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen.